Chapter 5. A burst of gibberish erupted from the newcomer, but smoothed out into a stream of heavily accented Gothic.
Saranda Khan Kosara, and you shall be spared,
the Tao said. There was no trace of a sneer in the demand, which only made it worse. Semeka blinked. Then he laughed. Jebe looked at him.
He thinks you're the Khan, boy, Semeka said in Korchin.
A faint look of satisfaction passed fleetingly across the champion's face. Then he spat a curse and tossed his blade from hand to hand.
It insults us, he said.
We probably all look alike to them, Semeka said.
He chuckled weakly.
He was right, though. Eagles pick his bones. He was right. She was here, waiting for him. She thought he'd make a break for it once he realized it was a trap.
Jebe stared at him, comprehension slowly dawning on his burnt features. Semeka waved his hand.
Well, go on, boy, reply to her. Don't let her realize she's made a mistake, whatever you do. She wants the car. Give her the car.
Jebe nodded sharply, his eye alight with understanding. In that moment, Semeka was proud of him. Jebe was headstrong and as dumb as hammer-addled Auroch, but no one could fault his courage. He'd have walked backwards into the eye of terror if Corsaro had asked it of him. Shadow-san repeated her question.
Captivity is not the same as mercy, Jebe said, barking out his reply in stilted Gothic.
The Tao cocked her head, as if trying to pass his accent. Then she said,
If you do not surrender, your men will die.
All men die, Jebe said.
Yes, but preferably somewhere else, Tolui muttered.
Semeka laughed, though it hurt him to do so. He pushed himself up and looked around. They were surrounded.
This song sounds familiar,
Tolui said. Semeka nodded.
I'm growing tired of the tune myself, he said.
Ever since they'd left Agrellan Prime, it had been one trap after another. The Karmar were too tricky by half.
On the whole, I'd rather be fighting orcs. Oh, my devil's taken,
he coughed, as Jebe, provoked beyond all reason by Shadow Sun's insistence on surrender, had made his final thoughts on the matter known, as, with a roar, he flung himself at her, his sword slicing towards her neck.
When I said give her the card, I didn't mean attack.
The white-armored warrior moved with a sinuous grace that contrasted with the bulky battlesuit she wore. Jebe was hard-pressed to keep up, and his blade bit only air as he attacked. The Tao's form flickered and blinked in and out of sight. He spun and whirled, trying to catch his opponent as she circled him. Every time his blade came close, one of the drones that accompanied her intercepted the blow. Jebe snarled in fury as his sword rebounded off a drone's shimmering shield for the fifth time in as many moments. As he readjusted, his opponent smashed into him from the side, staggering him. Semeka winced. He glanced over and saw Tolui taking aim with his bolter.
Don't even think it. It's a waste of a shot and he won't thank you. Keep your eyes on the others, he said.
He levered himself up.
That goes for all of you. When they've had their fun, that'll be the end of it. So you'd have best made your peace.
Jebe whipped around, blades singing a deadly song. Shadow-san leapt straight up and skimmed back across the unsettled snows. She leveled the twin fusion blasters she carried and fired. Jebe flung himself aside. Even so, he only just managed to avoid the scalding blasts. He rolled through the snow, smoke rising from the patch of slag ceramite on his side and hip. His power armor's inner working was untouched, but the outer plates had been melted and warped. Semeka knew that a single direct hit would end the other's career as company champion, regardless of how tough he was. Jebe recovered quickly enough and shot forward. Shadow Sun slid away, instinctively avoiding a slash that never came. Instead, Jebe stabbed at her. The point of his blade struck her armor again and again, carving deep ruts in the previously untouched surface. Shadow Sun staggered with every blow, but she didn't fall. Her fusion blasters slammed together, pinning Jebe's blade between them. Shadow Sun jerked him forward and smashed an armored boot into the champion's midsection. Jebe staggered back without his weapon. Shadow Sun tossed it aside. She took aim at him, and he tensed, ready to dive at her regardless. Then she raised her arm. One of the riptides lunged forward and swatted Jebe to the ground with bone-rattling finality. Semeca sighed. At least the Khan wouldn't have to suffer the ignominy of being captured.
Maybe he escaped, he thought.
The thought cheered him somewhat. In the end, glory and honor were as nothing to freedom. Chains, by any other name, they meant little to sons of Jagatai. If by trick and by blood they could buy an extra moment for their Khan, that was the way of it.
Laugh while you kill, brothers, and laugh loud, so our brothers can hear us and know what fun they're missing, he said.
He rose unsteadily to his feet. The world swam about him.
I don't think we need to laugh all that loud, Tolui said. Listen!
Semeca turned. He'd heard the sound for some time, but assumed it was coming from the Tau. But now that he focused on it, he knew that no Kamar engine had ever sounded so boisterous. His seamed face split in a smile.
I guess he survived after all.
He pivoted and snapped off a shot at Shadow Sun.
Well, brothers, let's light their way for them, shall we?
Tolui gave a bark of laughter and began to fire as well. Soon the entire knot of survivors was blazing away in all directions. The Tau seemed taken aback by the apparent madness of their enemy, and it was long moments before they began to return fire. Semeca cackled happily as he fired.
That would have been a good death, he thought. But this one will be much better.
Bikes roared through the snow, shoving aside the curtains of smoke with the force of their passage. The shattered remnants of Samaka's forces littered Rime Crag, but the bark of bolter fire said that there were survivors yet. Corsaro hunched forward over his bike's handlebars, as if to wring more speed from its shrieking engines by sheer will. Thirsk rode at his side, snow stinging his pale features. He could see Ambergai riding on the other side of the Khan. The Stormseer's face was twisted in a grimace of concentration as he wrapped the column of riders in a swirl of snow in order to hide them from prying eyes and muffle the noise of their passage. Every time Thirsk thought Ambergai had reached the limits of his mental strength, the Stormseer dug deeper into himself, summoning up psychic might from untold depths. The White Scars did not slow as they swept through the wreckage. Thirsk could see enemy vehicles moving below at the base of the ridge, keeping on a parallel course. They were troop transports, he thought, though he couldn't be sure, just as he couldn't say whether they were in pursuit or heading somewhere else. Samaka's group hadn't got far before they were hit. He was surprised they hadn't seen smoke, but then with the way Ambergai had stirred up the winds and the way the snow was falling, he was more surprised that they could see anything at all. Corsaro's voice snarled through the vox, barking orders.
Ambergai, fill the air with lightning. See if you can disrupt their communications the way they have done to ours, he said. The rest of you, do as you must. Laugh and slay. Today we teach the enemy what it means to grab hold of the tiger's tail.
The White Scars roared in reply, waving weapons and firing their guns. Thirsk ducked his head as the column of bikers ripped through a cloud of oily smoke. As they exited the smoke, he saw where the Tau had been heading. A tiny knot of White Scars were firing at their approaching enemy from the lip of the ridge. Two of the larger Tau battlesuits were menacing them, as several squads of fire warriors climbed the slope, pausing only to return the Space Marines' fire sporadically. The trap, when taken at a remove, was brilliant in its simplicity. Once the tanks had been rendered immobile, the White Scars were at the mercy of the faster-moving Tau. and tenacity was no substitute for firepower. If the battle suits didn't get them, the Tau battle tanks would. And if neither of those did the job, then the Fire Warriors would almost certainly wear the remaining Space Marines down. Corsaro roared out a command and chopped the air with his hand. Ambergai weaved around behind Thirsk and, accompanied by two other riders, shot towards the enemy warriors climbing the slope. Thirsk saw the Stormseer whip the end of his staff through the air, and it was as if an invisible scythe cut through the unprepared Xenos. The trio buzzed across the line of fire warriors, disassembling the formerly precise formation into bloody wreckage. It was a stalling tactic, Thirsk knew, and nothing more. Ambergai might have been able to do more, but he would have to stop, and if he didn't kill them all, the Tau would swarm him under. There were simply too many of them, and too few of the White Scars.
"There she is," Corsaro snarled.
Thirsk saw that his attention had been drawn to a strange white armored shape standing near the knot of survivors. It was a Tau battlesuit, but like none Thirsk had ever seen. As they neared, the slim battlesuit rose into the air and shot backwards.
"Oh, no, you don't,"
Corsaro said, aiming his bike in pursuit. Following Corsaro, Thirsk shot past the closest of the towering battlesuits. He saw a familiar form lying before it in the snow. The battlesuit lifted its foot over Jebe's sprawled form. Thirsk recalled vividly what the result of that would be, and he swung his bike around in a tight skid. He didn't like the champion much, but he wasn't going to allow the White Scar to be pulped. Even Jebe deserved a better death than that. As the machine toppled, the Dark Hunter threw himself from the seat, and, with the impetus of the bike's slide beneath him, he interposed himself between the fallen champion and the battlesuit. His palm slammed against the bottom of the battlesuit's foot, and the servos in his power armor whined in protest as he tried to stop the crushing descent. The weight of it was incredible, more even than he'd imagined. He sank slowly to one knee, both arms bending back.
"Up, Jebe! Get up!"
he said. The White Scar groaned and looked up blearily.
"Up, you stupid fool!"
Thirsk roared, kicking the White Scar in the side. The battlesuit redoubled its efforts, and he felt a servo blow somewhere in his armour and the hiss of a pierced cooling hose. Jebe scrabbled weakly at the snow. Thirsk saw his fingers brush up against the eagle-headed pommel of his sword. Jebe caught up the blade and rolled over, piercing the bottom of the suit's foot and jamming the pommel against the ground. Thirsk let go, grabbed him and rolled them both aside as the battlesuit jerked and flailed, trying to right itself.
"You saved me,"
Jebe spat.
"You're welcome,"
Thirsk said, pushing himself to his feet.
"I was not thanking you." "I apologize. The subtleties of courtship escaped me,"
Thirsk said, recovering his axe and his bolter from the fallen bike. He flipped the axe around and proffered the haft to Jebe.
"Go get your sword, champion,"
he said, as he extended the bolter and fired off a burst at the enemy swarming around them.
"I'll cover you."
Jebe made a face, then snorted, spat, and ran a thumb along the edge of the axe.
"I suppose this will have to do."
He turned, a feral grin rippling across his burned and blistered features. He bounded towards the still off-balance battlesuit. Thirsk turned and began to fire at the approaching fire warriors, intending to leave Jebe to his fun. The battlesuit had torn itself free of the blade, and it retreated several steps. Jebe pursued it with all the tenacity of a man for whom size differentials were merely a matter of opinion. He jumped and used the battlesuit's bent knee joint as a springboard to propel him up its chest. The shield drones hummed about him, and he swiped at them irritably. The drones were less of an obstacle than an annoyance if you got in close. He lunged for the battlesuit's square head. The battlesuit moved quickly, snatching him out of the air with its empty hand. Jebe cursed as the construct's grip began to tighten. Rivets popped and plates buckled. He hefted Thirsk's axe and threw it directly into the battlesuit's optic sensor. The power axe buried itself in the boxy head, and the battlesuit staggered, blinded. The burst cannon on its other arm roared as it fired wildly, and it destroyed one of the drones by accident. Its hand spasmed, and Jebe tumbled to the ground. Thirsk raced towards him, palming a crack grenade from his belt. "Catch!" he said, tossing it to the champion. Jebe caught it, as he ducked beneath the whirring burst cannon. Thirsk circled the battlesuit, firing at the other sensor nodes that stuck out from the hulking battlesuit. The operator was likely already trying to reroute the sensor feed and regain his view of the battlefield. If that happened, he didn't put great odds on their survival. As he got behind it, he pulled a second grenade from his belt, activated it, and rolled it beneath the battlesuit's damaged foot. The battlesuit twitched as it stepped on the frag grenade, barely registering the explosion as the ground disintegrated beneath its foot. It reeled forward, sinking to one knee. The bolter clicked, empty, and Thirsk dropped it and drew his knife as he leapt for its back. He caught hold of a shattered sensor node and swung up. "Draw its fire!" he shouted, trying to hold on as the battlesuit began to struggle to its feet. The remaining shield drone buzzed towards him, and he caught it with his fist, knocking it aside. Jebe didn't argue. He'd reclaimed his sword, and with a slash, he opened a hole in the side of the burst cannon mount. As the battlesuit spun, firing, Jebe tossed the crack grenade into the hole and brought his sword down on the spinning barrels of the cannon, hacking through them. The grenade exploded a moment later, and subsequent internal explosions ripped up the battlesuit's arm. It reared back with a groan of abused metal. Thirsk had climbed to the top, and with his knife pried open several of the hull plates. He stuffed grenades into each of the openings, activating them. Then he grabbed hold of his axe and dropped from the battlesuit. "Move!" he roared, scrambling away. Jebe followed suit, as the battlesuit was consumed in fire. They watched as it crumbled, shuddering in its death throes. They turned together as they heard the crunch of boots on snow. Fire warriors moved towards them, rifles extended. If they were disconcerted by the destruction of the battlesuit, they didn't show it.
"Brave," Thirsk said, spinning his axe.
"Good. Cowards make poor prey," Jebe said.
"You're welcome, by the way," Thirsk said.
"I still have not thanked you. I did not require your aid," Jebe said.
"No, I'm sure you didn't," Thirsk said.
He gestured with his axe.
"After you, Trigorian," he said.
Jebe grunted and raised his sword.
"Stay close, Phobian. I'll keep you safe." Then, with a roar, Jebe sprang towards the advancing Tau. Thirsk followed.
Corsaro brought the bike to a halt in a cloud of smoke and superheated snow. His bolt pistol was in his hand, and he swiveled in his saddle, firing once, twice, three times, each shot dropping one of the advancing fire warriors. The rest of the group retreated with all due haste, falling back to regroup. Semaka looked up at him.
"Tanks broke down," he grunted.
"So I see," Corsaro said.
He holstered his pistol.
"You seem to have things under control."
Semaka made a face. Corsaro's eyes were drawn to the blood still seeping from the wound in Semaka's side, and he shared a glance with one of the white scars nearby. Tilui, he thought. It should have sealed over by now. Doubtless, if the old man simply sat down, it would have. But that wasn't old Shatterhand's way. He wouldn't rest until he was dead.
"And perhaps not even then," he mused.
He was pleased to see that the old man had survived. He had feared that they would arrive in time only to avenge Semaka and the others. Semaka might still die, come to that. He pushed the thought aside.
"It's been almost 12 hours. The Khwarezmian should be nearby. Ambergai's lightning will have interfered with their jamming frequencies,"
Corsaro said, looking at Semaka.
"Hook him, old man. We've got the jaws pried open, but we still need someone to pull us out. We need Karchai and his men, and we need them now."
Semaka hefted the vox and shoved it towards Tului.
"You heard him. Summon the Khwarezmian."
He looked at Corsaro and said,
"Thought you decided to sit this one out, boy. What?
And leave all the fun to you?" Perish the thought, old man,
Corsaro said. He laughed and gunned his bike's engine, scattering snow and sliding past the wreckage and on into battle. The enemy was disorganized, reeling in shock from the sudden appearance of a mobile force of eager warriors. He had seen it again and again since arriving on Agrellon. If the White Scar's weakness was that they reacted too swiftly, then the Tau were guilty of the opposite. They built strategies like spiderwebs, intricate and surprisingly strong, but infinitely vulnerable to a gust of wind or a careless motion. There were many ways to wage war from the saddle. Wheel and spoke was one, the way of the rabbit another. But the best way, the way that his chosen excelled at, was the way of old, the way of the storm. Every warrior was the eye of their own storm, requiring neither aid nor the command of a Khan to isolate and destroy the enemy. That was the method they used now, each rider using what skills they possessed and what weapons they had to hand to distract, harass, and butcher the enemy. Ambergai had made himself over into a boiling storm of furious lightning. Where he rode, the storm followed, disrupting electronics and burning flesh and leaving a trail of destruction in his wake. The Dark Hunter and Jebe fought back to back, both afoot, but neither at a disadvantage because of it. Both warriors slashed and spun, tearing through the enemy like dervishes. Corsaro whipped past them without slowing. They did not require his aid, and he had his own prey to chase. Shadow Sun was here somewhere. He could smell her scent and see her hand at work. She was a hunter like him, and she would not miss the kill, not for anything. He just had to find her. As he tore through the battle, he saw a rider whirling a bandolier of crack grenades over his head like a lariat, swept past a hovering battle tank and hurled the grenades, hooking the main cannon. As he thundered on, the grenades exploded and the tank dipped as if in shock, its anti-gravity engines whining in protest as the force of the explosion caused its hull to scrape the ground. Out of control, it skidded through the battle, sending fire warriors scrambling to get out of its path as it crashed into the slope and was ripped apart by internal explosions. Other riders wielded power lances or fired bolters as they zipped through the lines of the fire warriors, piercing the alien phalanxes as they tried to form and make a stand. Corsaro saw a rider burst through a group of Tau and ride his back up into the rear bay of a hammerhead. The bolters mounted on the front of his bike, blazing away. The rider slewed the bike around and rode back the way he'd come before the fire warriors could even register what he'd done. The explosions that followed his departure attested to the grenades he'd left behind. But the White Scars didn't have it all their own way. There weren't enough of them to do more than cause confusion. Speed was no substitute for raw numbers, and here and there, Space Marines had become bogged down in the sheer number of troops that Shadow Sun had brought. Alien rifles fired, and a bike flipped end over end, and its rider crashed down. He rolled to his feet, bolt pistol in hand, only to catch a burst from a fusion blaster directly in the chest. The White Scar was plucked from his feet and sent sailing backwards as his armor cracked and split open like the shell of a boiled crustacean. Smoke wreathed his falling shape as he crashed down. Corsaro arrowed towards the fallen Space Marine. He'd seen where the blast that had killed him had come from. Shadow Sun was nearby. He caught sight of her distinctive armor, wreathed in the excess of Ambergai's lightning, its cloaking field crackling and bleeding away, as the supreme commander of the enemy forces now besieging Agrellon and the Damocles Gulf as a whole stood exposed before him. She stood before the wreckage of Semaka's Razorback, firing at the riders who sped past her. Corsaro had given orders that she was not to be engaged, save on his command, and his men were attempting to stay out of her way. Even from a distance, he could tell that she was growing frustrated. He smiled and leaned low in his saddle to whisper encouragement to his steed as the bike shot towards his prey.